This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Hold your carriage horses and tighten those corsets. Bridgerton is back. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Has Penelope truly pushed aside her feelings for Colin? Will Colin realize his feelings before another suitor takes Penelope's hand? And will Penelope's secret identity as famed gossip writer Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? This gentle reader can't wait to find out. Watch part one of Bridgerton now, only on Netflix. Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's happening? What's going on in your life?
I'm good. It's getting sunny.
Yeah.
I'm smelling spring in the air.
Positivity is in the air.
Right?
Yeah.
I can feel it. I feel like it's
nice
happening.
Day in New York City. The buzz comes back. It starts buzzing. And right now I walked here and it was like streets are alive. People are out. You could feel a sense of like, you know, you do this thing. And I don't know if this is, you know, what this says about me, but you do this thing. I could have a drink tonight.
Yeah.
I could go somewhere. I could do something.
Exactly. Once you start getting out of that, season where you have to wear your mittens, where your fingies are cold.
Right. Get away from fingies cold season and you've made it through the tough times of New York. And even like I was talking to my mom on the way here, like, you know, she's like, what's the weather like? I'm like, I can be outside walking. I mean, like, because we're a walking city for the most part.
Right.
You know,
that changes the whole vibe.
The whole vibe. Even though we are dressed like we are improv team members.
Waiters
at the hottest restaurant in LA. We look like we're in our Vanderpump costumes.
We do, actually.
All black here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see Jordana and I, twinsies.
Things are starting to brighten up. We're so hopeful.
Right. And then all black.
You can see it all here.
Yeah. I haven't had the positivity that you're having.
Okay.
I don't know why. I've kind of, this is the theme of episodes that we've taped. That I'm like, I did feel nice walking here. I will say that.
That's good. It's a little vitamin D boost.
Love the D. so then get that screen grab. yeah, I don't know. I'm like, it's funny. I was listening to Oversharing. You went over something near and dear to my heart on the last episode.
What did we go over?
You guys do a game at the end of the show.
Triggered,
where it's like, how triggered should someone be?
Yes.
And one of them was that the husband was eating all the kids' food at night.
Yes.
And I was listening to that, and someone even messaged me. They're like, do you have an issue with this? As a late night eater myself, you guys really did not take the side of the husband eating the kids' snacks.
I mean, the kids had no snacks to go to school with. You're literally taking food out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah, they can survive. They don't get the Fruit Loops or their fruit by the foot.
I think you married a woman with a kid, you're a stepdad, and her daughter
was
has
it a stepdad?
Yeah, they're like two people with their own kids, and they're each brought one kid to the house.
Okay,
and the wife is packing, or the new girlfriend is packing the snacks. If we get married, we each bring a child to the relationship, and my daughter has to hide school snacks from her stepdad. That's weird.
This guy has a problem. This is my point. I talk about this in the special that, you know, is done.
Yeah.
The a big part of it is about nighttime eating and how it's like more of an issue than people want to admit. And it is embarrassing. Like, I'm sure like this guy doesn't want to be eating her, you know, fucking Dunkaroos. He's hovered over the Dunkaroos with one light on in the kitchen, just sad.
I mean, have some self-control.
I have none. Say that to an addict of any kind. Say that to a heroin addict. Have some self-control.
All right, fine. I guess she's got to put the Dunkaroos in the safe.
I have looked into
safe
options.
You're saying it's everyone else's problem.
I'm saying they need to work together towards a solution. You and Dr. Naomi was a laugh fest. It was, this guy's got an issue.
Yeah, I mean, we said he has an issue. That's like a binge eating disorder.
Right,
a
disorder.
I mean, if she said it's not a supply problem, I bought more.
Right.
He
eats it all. He's like a dog. He just never stops.
I mean,
listen, I've been there. I mean, I don't keep snacks in the house. Do you keep snacks in the house? Are you a snack buyer?
I'm not a snacker. I don't really like snacking. Mike likes snack. He's a big snack guy.
He is. You've said this before. He's a big snack guy.
Big snack guy. Weird kid. This is a fear I would have for him.
Right.
He loves that shit. Anything that most people haven't had or wouldn't give their children since like 1995.
Give us an example. What's the last snack he ate that you were like, what the fuck is this?
Gushers. He's bought actual Gushers.
Gushers.
No children in the house buys Gushers.
You can buy single pack Gushers at a bodega?
No, like a box of Gushers.
He will buy a box of Gushers.
Yeah, it's not every day.
I would hope not. Yeah. This is crazy. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, he's Gushers. What does he have?
Wait, I have more questions on the
Lucky
Gushers.
Lucky Charms.
When is he buying these? Like on the way home? Like, do you guys get a grocery order? Is this like a delivered grocery?
Well, usually I get
out. Not to out Mike.
Usually we get away from him having these snacks because we go to Whole Foods because that's by our apartment.
Right, but Whole Foods has a whole new land of snacks. Like the fun part.
Those are healthy
about,
at least.
Well, I think we can find an unhealthy corner of Whole Foods.
Probably.
But I would say the fun of Whole Foods and Trader Joe's is like, what do they got that I don't know about? So is he getting snacks there?
At Whole Foods? Mm. He gets like, he prefers Trader Joe's for the
Of
for
course.
The,
for who the snacks. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Right? And if you're out there being like, what's a Trader Joe's? I don't have a Trader Joe's. That's sorry, tough. We really look down on you. No, Trader Joe's is like the place for, you know,
experimental snacking.
I mean, right, yes. Exactly. Creative dips aisle.
Yeah.
The creative dips aisle, I go through like I'm at.
Are you a snacker?
Yeah, I eat everything. I'm an everything.
But you don't snack like throughout the day, do you? Really?
I try my best. When I break, I break. Like, okay. I'm a binge eater, no question. Like, mm-hmm. Listen, I've gotten the messages from the nutritionists and psychologists being like, Jared, if you ever need, like, you get those messages, you're like, okay, get the fuck out of here. I don't need you. I didn't ask
right.
for your fucking help.
It's not like you put out a slide. Right. Please give all your...
help me! I can't stop snacking on Gushers! Yeah, I don't do that. And then they message me, hey, if you ever need... It's always someone that it's the same profile that DMs every time that does like, hey, if you need something, it's like them in their wedding dress with their dad. They're messaging from
they
like Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and it's just like, yeah. And if you ever need anything, I can help you be more mindful with your eating decisions. And it's like, get the fuck out of here.
What do you think this is?
Right. No, what do you think? You think this was my subtle plea? I go, I created a whole podcast to find my, you know, someone to deal with my mental issues. No, you know, so.
That's a different show. Diet starts tomorrow.
Total
Check
different show. So you go to the grocery store, Gushers. What's another snack he's getting?
I'm trying to think. Sorry. He's very into like chips and salsas.
See, there were snack houses and there were non-snack houses.
I mean, you were at my wedding. I feel like all of his friends would talk. He had like the snack house.
It did seem that was a theme of the wedding.
No, yeah, definitely. Whatever, like they talk about Almond Moms. I think he had like the opposite of that. Like whatever.
Dorito Mom.
Yeah, Dorito, regular Coke.
Regular Coke, I would be like in heaven. Like it would be like unheard of.
When I found this man, he was downing probably 6 or 7 regular Cokes a day. It's crazy.
6 or 7 Cokes a day.
Yeah.
Like it is interesting to me because Mike is in good shape. Looks great.
He's definitely like fast metabolism, like thinner guy. Yeah.
I just don't think, you know, I think this comes down to like, to bring it back to this triggered segment that was on, you know, oversharing. This isn't about like, he doesn't like, that husband doesn't go down being like, let me fuck over the kids and eat all their Dunkaroos. Like, he can't stop.
I understand that.
I think, I actually thought about this. You ever see the, like the pastries next to the barista?
Yes.
You go for pay. You go to the. You go get coffee. This is my mind.
It's a croissant.
Would you date someone? You're on a date. Red flag, deal breaker. They go, yeah, I had a croissant in the morning.
Are they French?
They're not French. They're from Westchester.
I don't want to insult Maddie, who you know. I feel like Maddie might say it. No.
And Maddie was a French minor.
French major.
French major.
Okay.
And you are against...
It's croissant. Like,
It's croissant in America, but you go, let's say, family trip to Paris.
Yeah, then I'm going to speak French.
Well, to the family? No, you're at the table. Are you guys going to get the croissant and then the waitress comes? Quoi?
To the waitress, I'll speak French, but to my family, if I'm speaking in English, I'm not putting a French word in the middle of an English sentence.
Okay.
It's my policy.
I like that policy.
I like the policy too. I think it makes a lot of sense. Shows a lot of self-awareness.
Right. You're on a date. Guy says croissant. What do you do? Do you call him out?
I get as they call it an ick a little bit.
Right.
I wouldn't call him out. I think I would just, maybe if I did call him out, it'd be in a joking way. I'd be like, wow, like, you've got quite the French accent.
I am in can't help myself mode in dating at this point.
You're just calling out things
I'm
left
saying
and right.
Everything that comes out, anything first to mind, I'm saying it.
It's almost like how to lose a guy in 10 days.
I think that's the better way.
Maybe we should do a reality show called How to Lose a Woman in 10 Days.
Listen, I'd be patient zero for that. I talked to someone on a dating app the other day, and they were like, yeah, I took a painting class last night. And I was like, how was that? Like, I'm just like immediately like, what? Really? Like, and then they were like, yeah, we were doing figures. And I was like, still lifes are like people. And they're like, not naked. There was a naked man. And I was like, if I was in that class, I wrote back. I was like, if I was in that class, I would draw a big picture of a penis and balls with a big face on it.
I mean, you are.
And I would think it was the funniest thing ever. And no one would think it was funny.
You are yourself. I love it.
Right. That's as me as it gets. I would. And I said that. And they wrote back, ha, 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 ha. But who knows? You know, we've all written
were they
ha,
actually
ha,
ha, ha.
Right. Who amongst us hasn't ha, ha'd something that they are like, get the fuck away from me.
I love this idea for a movie of like a reverse 10 things I hate about you, where the idea is like, there's a bet, you win something at the end.
Okay.
And you have to, maybe it's not reverse. It's just a new age. It's an updated 10 things I hate about you.
Right, because the idea in 10 things I hate about you, which I have compared to a female superhero movie.
Yes.
I do believe, I think I've said that here before, because she acts in a way where it's like, I got to hold back, and she doesn't hold back at all. So you're saying, act on your first instinct. This is like similar to the Seinfeld George doing the opposite of everything he would do.
Yes.
You just act on a certain instinct. Yeah.
Just complete brutal honesty, I guess. But on his part, he's like, I guess trying in the movie, I guess he's trying to win her over.
Right.
He wins the bet if she falls in love with him in 10 days.
Right. And she's trying to, that's the whole premise, is she's trying to steer him away and he's trying to win her. They're both in bets.
Right.
Of a
to see who
kind.
Will like break first.
Right. It's a standoff.
Yes.
She is gorgeous in that movie.
Yeah. And her name's Andy. Andy Anderson, I think.
Andy Anderson. That's a crazy name. There's some looks in some movies where you're like, it's almost like, whew.
Yeah.
You know, she's in, isn't she in like a,
she's very pretty.
She's in a dress at one point.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah. And I'm having a vision.
She's in the diamonds.
Not
Frost
Ice.
Yourself.
Frost Yourself always made me squirm. I hated Frost Yourself. I hated that they were like, oh, that's a good tagline. I hate you frosted. I don't know. That never made sense to me
make
that
a
he was
woman,
this marketing genius.
Make a woman fall in love with diamonds or make a woman fall in love with you, Ben.
Right. It was so, I mean, so many of those movies are so cheesy. I watched
Sweet Home Alabama.
I watched Sweet Home Alabama.
Well,
she's a monster in that movie.
Yeah. I'm not a big Reese Witherspoon fan, actually.
Reese's character is the, like, just like, you can't believe that this person comes out on top.
Yeah, she's not a good look for her.
No.
But just a little sneak peek, next week, next Sunday, we're going to be having John Tucker Must Die star,
right,
Jesse Metcalf on the podcast. So we're really coming, we're going to be full circle on this.
This is good. That's a great segue, because now I have to watch that movie. I've never seen it.
It's a great movie. We could probably discuss it with Jesse next week. But basically, the premise is it's this high school stud who is dating three women at the same time, who all find out that he's dating them at the same time, and then come together to like take him down.
And this is another, you know, Avengers-like female movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to watch it. I'll watch it before we get J-Dog in here.
Exactly. Let's do that. And even, I mean, if you haven't seen from the title of this episode, we've got a very special guest coming on the end.
Friend and fan.
Yes.
We're going to find out more about that. We haven't taped it yet.
We haven't taped it yet. She's coming on at the end of this episode. Right. She'll be on. So,
but sometimes we tape out of order. We have no idea how this is going to go. I mean, this is a major movie star coming. Not to besmirch Jesse Metcalf, but what's he been fucking doing? But Rebel Wilson.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this before he comes on.
Here's the difference. Jesse, I'm sure he's great. We're going to have a fun time with him. But when I call my mom and I go, hey, we're having Jesse Metcalf on the show. And she goes, oh, your friend from high school? And then I say, hey, Mom, we're having Rebel Wilson. My mom goes, what? My mom's reaction. I couldn't believe the name recognition.
Yeah, she's next level. I'm very excited. She'll be on at the end of this. And hopefully it just kills it. I'm sure it will.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be very fun.
Watch her not show up now.
Hey, guys, brief announcement before we get going with faux pas or nah. So where were we? Should we just start the show?
We're talking about snacks.
Oh, snacks. I am so bad with snacks that I keep nothing in my apartment.
Okay.
I am actually, and this kind of, to take this back to the podcast a little bit, like relationships and snacks and getting together. Mm-hmm. I am living, you're filling up. The weather's affecting you. You're happy. Do you have plans for like travel coming up? You have things coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we have our tour coming up.
Holy shit.
So that's going to be a lot of travel for us.
Name this episode, Burying the Lead. Right? We didn't even mention Rebel Wilson. We didn't even mention the tour.
The tour, which is out now. You can buy tickets now. Betches.co/UUpLive. We're coming to Chicago. We're coming to Boston, New York, D.C., Philadelphia. You can get your tickets now. So I'm traveling to those places.
Right. These are our hot spots. So get the tickets now. None of those cities were sitting here being like, oh, will anyone come? You better get them now. They're going to sell out. Get your tickies. Assemble the group chat. This is a show for people who don't listen to the podcast, too.
Everyone will
love it. Your friends will love it even as much as you. That's the sell, is to tell you, you don't have to worry.
Yes.
Bring them in.
Such a fun show. You guys are going to love it. Get your tickets now. And I'm also going, I'm going to Cabo next month.
Cabo. Now, yes. I would never go to Cabo.
You're right with the honesty.
Right, I'm not letting it all fly.
Who the fuck would go to Cabo?
My fear with Cabo is a lot of time traveling.
Yeah, well, ordinarily I would say that, but we're, Mike's brother just had a baby. So I'm an aunt again.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And he lives in San Francisco or like in the Bay Area. So we're going to go visit. We're gonna meet her, the new baby.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna visit, and
not the biggest meeting in the world. I don't.
Yeah,
think she's
probably
like,
not gonna remember.
What's
but,
up,
you know,
auntie?
Yeah. But because we're already on the West Coast,
right?
We're gonna go to Cabo and
pop
then,
on down.
Exactly, pop into Cabo, and then on the way back, we're going to Chicago for our first stop on the UUp tour.
Very interesting. You and I, we are gonna be getting ahead of things before the tour. It may be that we haven't spoken until the 18th in Chicago.
It's possible because you're away the first 2 weeks of May, and then I'm away until the UUp show.
Right. And I say we won't speak. We speak in audio.
We'll be recording.
Well, but it's not like we do this show and then go back to our, you know, our posses.
Right, I have your phone number.
Right. We do talk other than this show. But it won't be the interaction of this show until that date.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, that's when we have mentioned we are at our best.
Exactly. So you know the Chicago show is going to be it.
And here's another thing. And I don't want to act like I'm selling this too hard because I believe
in
the show.
To.
We don't need to. If your friends are like, what is it? The live UUp Chicago show that we did last time is on our YouTube page.
Yeah, you can watch it. Get a little taste.
Get a little taste. That's right. They call that a free view.
Yeah.
Right. Get it for free.
But there's nothing like the live experience. But
right.
It's a good way, good little entryway into the show.
Well, this is a little taste of the drug, and then you got to come to the dealer.
Yes.
Get some more. So, yeah, so it's all there. That consider that a business card for the show that you can go and send to your friends and be like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
So if they're wondering, no matter where we're doing the show. But I
what else do you have coming up?
I got tons of shit. Fuck is going on.
Do you ever not? You always do.
I'm always, maybe it's
like,
too much.
There were like 2 weeks in COVID where you had nothing going on. But since then, it's
nonstop. Yeah. I'm just trying to make, you know, trying to pay these bills.
Like a single mother.
That's right. I got to be
someone's got to pay for these no snacks.
Well, this is the depressing part of the last couple weeks for me. Could I exist in a relationship? I think you start getting down the rabbit hole. I think the longer you're single, you get down the rabbit hole of like, am I this? Like, am I not able to combine with someone at this point? Could I, you know, like right now I am living, someone came to my apartment recently to do my podcast, and they were like, one of the guests, a comic, and she was leaving. She goes, all right, good to see you. Thanks so much. Get a cleaning person. That was their goodbye.
Wow.
I'm living the bachelor lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I say to my dad every time I go to his apartment.
Oh, no. This is bad. This is getting bad. My apartment is waters, club sodas, like waters flavored sparkling seltzers, protein bars, and then a couple condiments on the door, and then a big vat of popcorn kernels.
Okay. You make those from scratch? I guess you put them in the...
No, I don't have a microwave to stop myself from eating at night.
Okay.
So I make popcorn on the stovetop.
Okay.
If I get ravenous and I don't buy any snacks, don't buy any like things to keep in the house. And like I have salt, pepper, teriyaki sauce. Like that's what's going on.
Right. So you're like George Clooney and Up in the Air with like a binge, late night binging problem.
Well, yeah. I'm poorer, uglier, fatter, lonelier George Clooney from Up in the Air.
No.
With less suits. and less Delta
I
points.
Sent you, that?
You just reminded me of all the things I don't have.
The points.
He's got more points than he's like a billion point guy.
There was one scene from that movie that was very you that I sent it to you, and then you were like, that was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. Thank you so much for sending that to me.
I remember watching this going, I think I was hungover, and I was like, why are you sending this to me? Spokane. Oh, I just went there. Oklahoma City. If anyone's out there, come. Oklahoma City. Austin just added. Oh, I forgot. Austin. I just added Austin, Texas to my calendar. Come, please. Please, God. That's an
not
April.
That he needs you to be there or anything.
I thought I had the moment. Yeah, I don't need it. I thought I had the whole month of April off. I do not. I'm going to be in Austin in April. Then we go to Europe. That's when
European Euro trip. Ready to go.
Dublin, Belfast, London. There's still tickets available for the third show in London. Copenhagen, Amsterdam, Berlin. I think they're both sold out. Isn't it weird to find out we have people in Berlin?
I didn't even know that, like, they would understand your jokes. I guess people...
I mean, we're going to find... Well, we don't know that yet.
No, it's impressive. No, I'm saying, like, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
You have a big enough fan base in Berlin to sell out there.
I never would have thought it. Never.
Very German sense of humor.
That I am the German Jew of comedy. Oslo. I'm coming to Oslo. And then we got Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, D.C., Kansas City, Missouri, Nashville, Tennessee, Lexington, Kentucky. I think I said Louisville, Kentucky. I didn't mean that. Please stop messaging me. Where's
false
the Louisville
advertising?
Day? Yeah, so, no, it's Lexington, not Louisville. You
it's
just
a
name
sick
your,
joke.
Right. Sorry to fuck with you. Charlotte, North Carolina, in the fall. We're already going towards the fall. Portland, Oregon is going to be on there. It's not there yet. No message.
It's coming. Nothing gives me naked confidence like really nailing a tough workout. There's a real sense of power that comes from pushing your body to its limits and conquering it like a champ. But a very close second, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. It's the game-changing whole body deodorant for those who love feeling confident from head to toe. And you up listeners can now receive a special offer. New customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code UUP at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. Making sure that I smell good is like one of my top things to feel confident. If I'm scared that I might be like having an odor, that is going to totally throw off my confidence. So I love Lumi so I can feel confident that I'm smelling fresh every day. day. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Yes, anywhere. It's baking soda free, paraben free, and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. More like a pre-odorant. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Choose from a variety of bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code UUP for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code UUP at LumiDeodorant.com. You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming up, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. Honestly, I love pretty much everything Skims makes, but I really love their t-shirts. They're like form-fitting, and they make my body just look that much smoother. I have the soft-smoothing seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It has amazing versatility. It is literally a must-have for a spring wardrobe. They're stretchy, they're flattering. You can dress it up or dress it down, and you don't have to worry about compromising style or comfort. I also have the cotton jersey t-shirt in marble, and it's really just changed the game for me. It's taking the regular t-shirt, it's leveling it up. There's no stretched collars or hems, and it literally fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select you up in the drop-down menu that follows.
Should we get into our episode?
Yeah, let's get into it about a half hour in.
Let's do it.
You know how we get into these things quick. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'll read the first one. Hi, J&J. This goes without saying, but huge fan. You guys make conversations about icky dating topics a lot less icky.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's the point of this show.
Yeah, that's us at our best.
Yes.
A couple of months ago, I got out of a year and a half long relationship. I thought everything was going well the whole time, but near the end, I found out that he had cheated on me with multiple different people. I broke up with him and I do not regret it one bit, so there's no doubt in my mind that I don't want to be with him. Although I know I don't want to be with him, I hope that he learns from this experience and is able to be happy and healthy in his next relationship. That is a lie.
Right.
No one feels that way about someone that cheated on them with multiple different people. I just want them to be happy. Bullshit.
Well, it's a lot of... We'll get back to this because I think that that line is crazy.
It's important.
Yeah.
I just got back into the dating world and I have gone on about 5 dates with a guy I really, really like, and things are going well. He has given me no signs to not trust him, but my issue is I can't get over that feeling that I'm going to be blindsided again. My question is there a way to calm that fear? Is that just a normal reaction after being blindsided with cheating in a past relationship? I want to just enjoy the feeling of falling in love with this guy, but I can't seem to put away that fear of being blindsided away. My biggest fear is that I will jump to conclusions and that he is doing something behind my back when in reality, but I'm just grasping at straws and I lose him. I would love any recommendations that you have and really appreciate any feedback that you have.
It's an interesting email. It sucks to be cheated on.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's unavoidable.
To be cheated on?
Yeah, like sometimes.
Yeah, there's nothing in the way. By that, I think you mean like there's something you could have done differently to make someone have not cheated on you.
Right.
Right.
People can lie, and you know who gets fucked when someone lies? The honest person.
Right.
You know, like, and you don't like go in assuming someone's gonna lie.
Right.
You know, and you know, sometimes you get hit by the bus. Sometimes you don't. You know, and you know, I think. What do you think about this?
I mean, I think it's almost like I hope I think it was weird that she's like, I hope he learns from the experience and is able to be happy and healthy in his next relationship. It's almost like, have you processed this? Like, have you actually gotten out your anger about this happening? Because it's not a kind of thing that you would probably be just like, and I hope they're really happy.
You zoned in on the part that like she probably thought was nothing.
Right.
But it's like, that's the most worrisome part. She's putting so much energy into making sure everyone thinks she's okay.
Yeah.
And not just like owning like,
Yeah, not dealing with it.
Yeah, you got to deal with it. Like, the idea that you are putting, like, listen, you know, as we, if you go listen to our You Up With Benefits recently, like, you know, Jordana and I talked about going to therapy.
Yes.
And the process of, like, when do you decide to do it and not. I don't know, you probably didn't come to this podcast for us to go, you should maybe see a professional, but, like, you had something happen.
Yeah.
Something happened. You got to go through it. You got to figure out.
You got to feel it.
You got to feel it. And, you know, we aren't people to tell people go to, you know, like, we're not professionals.
Right.
But when someone says, I hope he is okay and living happily and healthily, I'm like, ugh. You're avoiding something here. You're signaling. You want us all to know, look at how okay I am with being cheated on. Look at how strong I am. And look at, I'm even so good a person that I will wish my cheater well. And it's like, fuck him. You don't need to give him any energy anymore.
Yeah.
He can go fuck himself.
I think both extremes are show a sign of, like, not having worked through it.
Right.
The extreme of, like, this guy is the devil. I hope he dies. I hate him so much. Like, he's the worst person ever. He's, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, evil.
Right.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, I just wish him well. Like, you did this thing and it's totally fine. It's like, did you even care? Like, you obviously haven't fully worked through that either, because you would hold some anger and resentment.
Right. And the other part of this is, you know, you probably were, you know, when you work through, you probably look back and go, well, I wasn't that blindsided. You know, the word blindsided, women love this fucking word.
Sometimes you are blindsided.
Sometimes you're ghosted. Sometimes you have trauma. Sometimes you're using a word to get, you know, because it's just easier to use the word and not really go, well, I'm just saying, the idea, like,
blindsided is a spectrum, I think, like,
right.
And here's the thing, that the internet or people don't like to deal with the spectrum because it doesn't sound as good. It feels better to label things.
It's less retweetable to go, yeah, I kind of didn't see it coming. There was this one time, now that I look back. Yeah, right. You're right.
Like, I think if you're going to say you're blindsided, you should say what level on the spectrum it was. Because, like, 10 on the blindsided scale is probably, like, the person proposed to you and was bringing in your, or, like, you know what I mean? Gave you absolutely no indication that anything was wrong or off in the relationship. Everything seems extremely like it's going in the direction that you are, and they're saying things to the effect of your future.
Right.
Right.
You know, 10 would be they proposed, and then you go, let me go get my makeup on, let's get a drink, and then they're downstairs fucking your best friend.
Right. That's blindsided.
Right. Right. Like, but I'm saying, like, when we look at this, like,
and one is like, you've been in therapy for a long time with them. They, like, have been, you've clearly had issues. You've discussed breaking up quite frequently, but never fully done it.
Right.
So that's a one, right? Most things are somewhere in between that.
Right. Like, I've been with someone 6 months and they suddenly said they're not ready for a relationship. That can feel blindsided, but it's also, in the grand scheme of things, you're going to be A-okay, kid. You know, like, you know, like, the word doesn't really match the, 6 months, that happens.
Right. I think the idea behind what the blindsided thing is, like, and we've talked about this before, where it can feel like men sometimes are thinking about breaking up with you for a while and don't really give you any chance to change or discuss the issue. They've just sort of decided in their head that you're not for them. And then they just kind of wait for the time to break up with you. I think that oftentimes with women, when they're breaking up with people, it's like they're saying their issue over and over and over again. Right. They're trying to make it work. And then the guy just won't do it. And then they get fed up and break up with them.
Guys break up before the next step. It happens all the time. I'm guilty of that. You make the decision without them. You go, well, I'm not there, so why would I work on something again and again? When, as you said, the same thing.
We'll come up.
We tried. So it's not a blindside at that point. They're just exhausted from it. They're like, good, let me get it. How did I deal with it for that long? You know, they'll say that after the fact. I noticed this. There was an oversharing episode where I actually wanted to talk to you about it, because it was so interesting to me that you and Dr. Naomi were taught. It was this woman who was like, we fight a lot. We're in couples counseling. Mm-hmm. this email.
Oh, and he yelled, the therapist tried to dump him.
The therapist tried to dump him, and then he was enraged that the therapist dumped him and that his girlfriend didn't take his side.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that neither of you ever were like, this is over. You're in couples therapy. You fight a lot. Like, get rid of him. It's not working. Like, the idea of going, and I sound bad. I mean,
she is a therapist. I don't think that's what most, like, ended.
Why isn't that an option? You know, like,
I don't think there's enough information for that email in particular to be like, they're fighting about the dish rack or something.
Well, they're fighting about the therapist that's supposed to be helping them in their relationship. This is, I guess the reason I bring this up is like, this idea that, like, you know, when the breakups come, like, it is so funny that, like, some people don't even see breakup as an option. So that's why blindsided gets used.
Right.
So if you're sitting there going,
I mean, when people are married, I think that's probably a...
Right. Well, this wasn't even a marriage. Like, I will say this, like, I know this is my opinion. Whatever it sounds. And if you're out there and you're in couples therapy with your boyfriend or girlfriend, good for you. I'm happy for you trying. I would never fucking do that.
You'd never go to couples therapy?
Not with my girlfriend.
Okay.
No. Fuck it. I'm out. Fuck it. We messed up the room. It's messy. I'm going to leave the room. We're buying a new house. I'm sure people don't.
Well, I'm saying the reason I don't agree with that, because sometimes the relationship is really great, but you're stuck in one area that you both can't seem to get past. Maybe there's one aspect of your relationship where you kind of have this fundamental difference that's you can't really seem to work through together. You keep kind of coming back to the same roadblock.
Okay.
But everything else is going well.
That makes it more edible for me as far as a situation where it could be presented.
Right.
I guess the point of me saying this is like, this is why a lot of these guys are going, I'm out, before there's a work on it moment. You know, like it just was so, the way you just explained it, I could understand how that would happen. Mm-hmm. I'm already backing off of my point.
Okay.
But I would also say, sometimes I hear this, that email I heard, and I was like, the house is on fire. It's time to go, baby girl. Like, and it's like, we fight all the time. Like, she even, like, we fight. And I would be like.
But clearly they're both agreeing to go to, it's kind of like, by nature of the fact that you're both down to go to couples therapy, means something to you. Like, it's almost like two people have to care enough to agree to that, to want to salvage it. So almost like the idea that you would even go means to me there's hope.
Right. I guess if the guy is getting in such arguments with the therapist, like, there's another therapist that should be there for him as well.
Everyone should, it should be like court. At that point, it's court.
Right.
Like,
get your own representative.
Right.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I just like. Maybe that, I mean, we're talking about just the phrase blindsided and
I guess we digress from the email.
Right, a little bit. But but it is important to this. I hear that blindsided word, and I think it is not, when she talks about it in a story about what happened, I was blindsided, I don't want to be blindsided again. It's like, you're okay now. You will be okay again.
Right.
Your versions of blindsided probably are on that spectrum that you talked about.
Yeah.
That ranges, and listen, you could have, you know, a family member could die tomorrow. And
anything could happen at any moment. You're never safe. Right. Just remember that. No, but I mean, that's sort of part of the way I agree. I agree with you in that sense of, like, part of anything could, terrible things can happen at any time in any aspect of your life by anyone. The only thing that gets us through just the idea that anything could happen is knowing that you'll be okay no matter what. Like you said, she got through this the last time. She was able to meet someone again. Like, there's nothing you can, if this is going to happen, there's nothing that she can do to really change whether or not he cheats on her. You can never fully, as much as you think you can, we have so much less control than we actually think we do. Mm-hmm. And so, in the worst case scenario where that actually happens, just knowing that she'll be okay should, if she truly feels like she knows that, she should be okay.
Do you think it's a good idea for her to go to this guy 5 dates in and be like, hey, I just want to let you know something I'm dealing with?
I think that there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I think, just, again, as long as it's done in a mature, normal way, where she's not like saying, like accusing him of doing anything, which doesn't, again, doesn't sound like he's done. She could just say, just so you know, like, I wanted to give you a little bit about my relationship history. My past boyfriend had actually cheated on me. And so I
wish him the best.
I kind of have this potentially, I don't know if you would say it's irrational, but this fear of whoever I'm with kind of deceiving me or cheating on me. And I think anyone who heard that would be like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Right. Right. And then it kind of sets up for, like, you know, like, things come up and you're going to feel how you feel.
Yeah.
You can't really avoid that, you know, and that person that you're with can't make it so you don't feel that way.
Right.
So I think it also, like, starts a conversation of, like, it really bothered me when you did this. And it, like, it can tell someone where that's coming from. You know, like, if I was dating someone who was like, I just got out of a relationship where I got cheated on, I would be like, well, I'm sorry that happened. Okay. And then they were like, you know, months later, they're like, what was that on your phone? I would understand where that impetus to feel that way comes from. And I would go, it's this dummy. You know, it's like,
And I think you were, even if you preempted it with, you know, because again, I know I've told you about my past. When I feel like you're being a little cagey with your phone, it gives me a lot of anxiety because I kind of have this leftover stress from this last relationship.
Right. And then you're like, it's Lisa from Seamless, you know, giving me a discount.
Yeah.
Code. You know, then you go, it doesn't become this you don't trust me thing. It becomes like, okay, I know you've dealt with this. Like,
a really good partner will maybe even go out of their way to, like, preempt that feeling.
Right. Hey, just so you know, I'm going out tonight.
I'll call you. Or if I don't call you, it's because I'm, you know, we're going to be out. I'm not going to be out looking at my phone. I don't want you to get anxious.
Right. In the same way, a partner would lock up the snacks to make it so you don't get the best of yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think she should tell him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a nice, past relationships are good conversation. Yeah. In my opinion, good conversation.
And I think I still think it'd be probably beneficial to work through it in therapy too. I had a friend who had this exact same situation. Her first boyfriend had cheated on her, and we were like in high school. It was like a very traumatic experience for her. And then she had this extreme fear that her college boyfriend was going to cheat on her. And I remember her telling me she went to her therapist, and her therapist almost had her do like a visualization of walking in on her current boyfriend cheating on her. As almost like an aversion therapy.
Right.
Right. So it's like you see the scariest thing that could happen to you. And then it's kind of like, well, what happens next?
What do you do?
Like,
right.
And then you walk through that far enough and you realize, like, you're fine.
Generally, the answer isn't I crumble and melt into a puddle and die right there. That's generally not the answer.
Exactly. Maybe you do that day one, but then day two, then what?
Right.
Then you get up. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a good thing for this person to do.
Yeah, just visualize him cheating on you.
Right. You walk in, sucking on those nipples.
In case you needed help getting there.
Right.
Summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I'm wearing a Quince sweater literally right now. They make the best cashmere sweaters, and they're so well-priced. It's like, honestly, my dream store. I also have an amazing down comforter from them. They cut out the middleman, and they really just give you these really, really high-quality items that last a long time and that they're at an amazing price point. Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP. If you're like me and shudder at the thought of low-rise jeans and pluck-thin eyebrows making a comeback, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. I have to tell you, I'm a huge Clarins fan. I've been using them for years. I love, love, love them. They are such high quality. They're like a legacy brand. My skin always looks better whenever I'm using Clarins products, and it's no different with the Clarins Multi-Active Cream. You've been adulting for a while, so the daily stress of just trying to keep your life together can cause stress aging. Yes, that's a thing. The good news, Europe's number one skincare line has a solution you can trust. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bio extract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While Multi-Active Cream can't bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Go to Clarins.com/UUP and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's Clarins.com/UUP with promo code UUP. Clarins.com/UUP with promo code UUP.
Well, welcome back to the U Up podcast. We are very, very excited to have a very special guest. Fan of the show first.
Yeah, I'm a premium subscriber.
A premium subscriber.
Yeah. It's me. Hi.
Rebel Wilson, thank you for coming on.
Just a random fan.
We decided to have a random fan. What? How are you?
I'm great. So I was just here in New York and I just thought, oh yeah, I'll pop in.
Oh my
you
God.
You have an open invitation. We were
my favorite podcasters.
Yeah. We were so excited.
It's weird to like be with you guys in real life.
It's weird to be with us.
Because I've been honestly listening to you guys for years and it's like...
How'd you find it?
Okay, I think when I was last on the show, but never in person. This is the first time in person.
Right.
When I was promoting a movie I had senior year on Netflix. And I think I told you guys like I was a bit of a late bloomer in love. And and so I guess like when I'm in America, I was like I'm needing to date and whatever. And I just needed tips and... Like, I found it really interesting hearing other people's stories, and you learn stuff. Like, you legit learn stuff that really, really helped me. So I don't know. Just through, like, listening to podcasts about dating, but then this one was, like, the one that I stuck with. Because, like, you guys are hilarious.
Most flattering thing, I think, ever.
I'm completely flattered, but also it worked. Married.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I was gonna say
Jordana and I were just comparing.
We have the same style of ring, but I like
classic.
I like Rebel setting more than mine. So I'm gonna have to take a picture and send it to jeweler. It's crazy because you were on the show maybe a year ago, and so much has changed for you since then. You said you were just seeing someone then, and now
And then now, like bang, engaged,
and
in Disneyland. By the way,
yeah. So the Disneyland thing snuck up on me. I gotta say, are you a Disney adult?
That's become a thing now,
right?
Okay, I did actually go on this retreat with a lot of Disney adults. And I had to leave early because it was just too weird.
It was too Disney.
Yeah, it was too
So
much.
Hold on. Let's back
We're
it up.
Back
up.
Yeah, I need
no offense to the other.
What was the retreat? What got you there?
I'm part of this secret club, Jericho Club 33, which is, a kind of elite Disney club. And we do cool Disney shit. And while we're in Palm Springs, it's because it was a ranch that was Walt Disney's favorite. He'd get a lot of inspiration there.
Club 33 is a real thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's a Disney club.
If you go to Disneyland, it's kind of...
it's an upsell?
It's kind of around the corner from the Pirates of the Caribbean. And you just, there's a secret door and you have to have a secret card to get in. And it's very secretive. I cannot disclose who else is in it.
I love it.
Is this like a celebrity thing or can anyone join?
There are some celebrities, but I don't know. It's just like an interesting mix of Disney adults.
Golden Mickey
from
Mouse
around
ears.
The world. Disney adults. We have cool shit. Yeah, we have like these.
Special edition.
Yeah, like brands make special things that are Disney-fied just for us. Like, okay. Yeah.
What was the Disney thing that got you into Disney? Like what's your go-to Disney thing?
My grandma took me when I was 11 and it was just such an amazing trip to bond with grandma and my sister Liberty, and it was just like, and so I guess you have a childhood memory that's just like awesome, whereas like blown my mind, like they had that Haunted Mansion and then I thought it was real because I was only 11, but I thought that was real. I thought, oh my God, there's ghosts in here. I was freaked out. And so you just have such an amazing magical time, and then I guess I don't know. Now I go back a couple times a year to like relive it.
Does your fiance love
yes, she loves Disney.
Also?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you connected over that.
Yeah, we did. One of our first dates was at Disneyland. But I took a VIP, like I pulled out all the stops. Okay.
Right.
So when I go, I don't have to wait in any lines or anything. Which is
well, you're Rebel Wilson.
Like, well, I mean, that could quickly change a romantic idea to, you know, when you ever have a romantic idea, I feel like the normie equivalent is maybe like a picnic in Central Park, and then you're like sweating, dragging this right. all this. Like,
I've actually
food
have
and wine and
did
shit.
Do that yeah. with Ramona as well. It was terrible, and there were all these bugs.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
that theory, month. Yeah, and then Ramona and I sat there for like 20 minutes. We're like, maybe we should just go, and we lugged like food from Cipriani's all the way over. You know,
well, it's a better idea in theory.
Right. Well, yeah.
there's no good, bathroom.
I thought it was going to be romantic.
It's
and
almost
then it was
a
shit.
Good idea that it like didn't go well. That you both agree.
Yeah, we both were like. Sitting there on the, I got out the picnic blanket and everything, and then it was like the bugs. I don't know. Some months in Central Park.
What was the weird bugs. Disney stuff they were doing that made you go, "I got this is enough for me"? Were they like hugging Goofy, like, oh, finally? And you're just sitting there like, oh, I'm gonna back out.
I don't want to say. But Ramona and I just packed up the car and we said, we're going.
We've had enough.
We've had enough. And we said, oh, we've got to get back to the baby. And then. Yeah.
That's a good excuse for anything.
Yeah.
Has having a baby transformed your life in that you can now get out of anything? Is that the best part?
Yeah, you can be like, do you want to come to this gala event? Oh, I've got the baby. I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the only reason to have a baby.
Yeah. Like it is a very good excuse because the baby does need a lot of your time. But it is life changing in so many ways. It's awesome. But it's like, I'm like, oh, some days I'm not. I don't know, you like mum brain or something and you're just like, and I can't, I don't know. But I'm sorting it out. Like it's so new. The baby's only 4 months old and she's amazing. But it's, yeah. So since I spoke to you, engaged, baby.
Life comes at you fast. This
it's
is like
weird.
It's the power of this podcast.
Honestly.
Right. This like, is it. This is it.
Before I met Ramona, I was just that person that was like, oh, am I ever going to meet somebody? Is love really ever going to happen for me? I almost was like going to like give up on it completely after like dating like quite a lot in America for like 5 years. And then
was there a moment with Ramona that you remember? You're like, this is it. I can feel it. I got the feeling. I didn't think I could get it. I got it.
It was actually, I proposed on Valentine's Day, and the Valentine's Day before that, we'd only been in a relationship for a couple months. And I had told her I'd never been with anybody on Valentine's Day. I'd never been in a relationship that went over Valentine's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was always just single. And then I told her this and she's like, well, I'm going to make Valentine's Day the most special thing for you ever. Aww. So I had to like lock myself in one room of my house and I didn't know what she was doing, but she'd brought a whole carload of props and things and like totally decorated the whole house. Made this whole menu of activities that were all like the most cliche Valentine's Day things to do. And it was like so romantic and like every cliche thing, like bubble bath with roses or, you know, chocolate covered strawberries, like all the things. And she had it
Donald
all planned
Duck
out.
Naked on the bed.
There was no Disney stuff oh, okay. involved. And then that was the engagement.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was just like, oh my God, like no dude had ever done that for me before. And I was like, wow, like she's incredible. She's so romantic and so thoughtful. And she just did all this. It took her hours.
This sounds like a movie amazing. You could be
yeah.
in.
This, yeah. Well, it sounds like a
the
Disney
Valentine's
movie.
Day
yeah.
list, you right. know, like,
yeah.
it sounds like I'm going to take you
and
like a
hilarity
because
I'd never done anything
ensued.
With yeah. a partner on Valentine's Day. And I, you know, and I was like, oh God, Valentine's Day is normally so sad. And so she made it like the most special day and I was like, oh my God, she's a keeper. And that was the day I told her I loved her as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
I know it's cliche Valentine's Day, but I don't know.
I don't think it meant something. I feel like it's a day of romance.
Good one.
When we talk, and you know, what I find interesting, and I'd love to get your take on this, because we were just talking literally at the beginning of this episode, you were saying how if to be in a relationship, you know, in your late 30s might take you out of your routine
as positive as you two are on this day, I was like, I'm feeling down. Like I was like, you know, you do have a, you get single later in life. You go, I am this person. I don't feel like changing what I do on a daily basis. I don't know who I need to find a perfect, you know, in your 20s, maybe you find a puzzle piece, you know, it's two pieces of Play-Doh that squished together. You feel more like a hardened puzzle piece at a certain age.
I definitely was like a hardened puzzle piece, I think. Mm-hmm. I was used to my life. If I was dating someone, I was used to seeing them probably twice a week. Mm-hmm. That was like my thing. Okay, if I'm dating you, then we have like two dates a week. And that's like a thing. And I don't really want you to move in. And I'll just date you, you know, and like, unless it got very serious, but it never kind of got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hadn't really lived with anybody as a partner. And so I was like, oh my God, like, what if I meet someone? Am I too stuck in my own ways? Am I going to be weird? I don't know. Like,
how was that transition? Was it, do you feel like it kind of happened, or was it weird?
Very naturally. And like, I didn't even have to think about it. So I guess if it's the right person,
right,
it's not weird. And it
right,
does.
That's, I think that's
encouraging.
It's encouraging, right? But yeah, it's also the answer. Here you go. All right.
you find someone who's a good match, who already, you know, has right, their, like, whose interests already kind of mesh in with yours. But I'm sure there were like a thing or two where you're like, well, I do it that way.
There's a couple things. But like I used to watch certain TV shows, and now we got to like negotiate what right, TV shows we watch or find new shows to watch
together.
Well,
it kind of goes back to the picnic and going, I'm trying. This isn't something I would normally do. I like you. I want to impress you. Cipriani on the lawn, and then you both look at each other like, this fucking sucks, and you go, thank God.
Yeah.
But the effort was there, and now you realize you're more alike than you were before.
Yeah, exactly.
And did Ramona get past the FBI clearance check you told us about last time? did you do a background check on
her? I actually never background checked.
Oh, you didn't? Her. Okay.
No.
Was that reserved for men?
That's probably more necessary for men.
Right.
I don't know, because you think maybe dudes might be hiding something a bit more scarier.
Well, they more likely to kill you. Yeah.
I just think of, you know, men. Probably. As, you know, sometimes.
I did go out with one guy who I nicknamed the criminal when I tell my girlfriend stories about it, you know, and I think he was like a legit criminal.
Really?
Yeah. And once I started finding out a few things, like obviously then I just dumped him.
Time to go.
Yeah. But in a really like easy way, so like he wouldn't come after me or anything. So yeah, like
that's the way to do it.
Like it was like slightly scary, but
hey, sorry, Mr. Tex, I was at Disney World the whole day.
Yeah, sorry. and I think I have to dump you now. Oh, but you know, it's not you. I hope you're great, but you might be a criminal. But like, hi. Okay. No, it's a longer story than that. But basically, the Pitch Perfect girls saved me from that one. They saw a few things on the internet that was like, oh
really?
This guy rebel, like,
you didn't Google him?
The guy.
They're like, no, I didn't. Well, not to like a deep extent. And then they found out some shit. And then
is that why you went to the FBI?
That one wasn't. I didn't even need the FBI.
Right. Yeah.
Well, she just needed
quite
Google.
Clear.
Yeah.
She had like the Neve from Catfish FBI-esque tools of Google.
Yeah. A phone.
But there was a weird thing, Jared, where I was in New York and he was supposed to fly out to meet me for like a fun weekend. And then I kept saying, well, what's your flight number so I can send a driver to come pick you up at the airport? And he's like, oh, I don't have it. And then I'm like,
doesn't have a number.
It's like the day before I go, but I need your flight number so I can know what time you're coming and to get, you know, pick you up. And then he goes, oh, I'm under investigation and I'm not allowed to fly across state lines.
Come
something.
On.
And I was like,
how'd you find?
What?
Where did you meet him?
That was on a movie set.
Okay.
Yeah.
It snuck on.
Yeah. Basically. So, yeah, it was only just a little casual thing. Right. So I didn't get too deep into that situation, and which was for the best.
That's
yeah,
probably a good idea. So also, I mean, I want to talk about your new dating app, which you just launched. This is a dating show. So give us a little bit of like background about like how you came up with the idea and like what it's all about.
So it was kind of, I mean, obviously like, yeah, like I love talking about dating and dating apps and everything, and I do it with all my friends. And I was on one dating app. I wish I kind of had gone on more, but I guess being in the public eye, you can't just really go on Hinge or Bumble or.
So you were on Raya?
I was on Raya, okay. Yeah. And then I'd done this experiment called Year of Love where I just went out with anybody who asked me out. And I went out with about 50 different people, a lot of them on Raya. And so, but through that experience, and then the twist of that was that I had met a woman and had like feelings for her, which was totally like came as kind of like I don't know, a blindside, or like it wasn't what I was expecting to happen in that year.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
That was kind of a big part of the year too.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you got engaged and engaged to a woman.
Yes, I know.
And
so it was a plot twist, which kind of surprised me. I never thought I was 100% straight, but I was only ever dating men before that.
How does it start? Yeah. You know, how do you get, because there's a hump to get over. You know, I'm sure, I don't know the story. Like, you got a part of that is telling family and friends.
Yeah.
And part of, you know, how does that start? And does she pursue you? Do you meet through friends? How does that go?
So it was just like, I met as friends, but then realized, oh, hang on, I think I have feelings for this person. And then having this awful thing of having to say it, because nobody, I guess, you know, in my friendship circle, whatever, thought I would have been attracted to a woman. And then you have to like say it.
And then
it was
out.
Like, yeah. And it was like, it was hard. I guess I come from a very conservative background. And so it was, I guess the 20-year-olds these days have no issue talking about sexuality, or, you know, they're all over the spectrum and it's all cool. And, but where I grew up in Australia and stuff was very conservative. And so I had to like, you know, tell people and then tell the person that I was attracted to them. And I was like, oh my God. You know, I don't know what I said. And I think I said the word something like, I don't want to offend you. I'm like, are you interested in women? And like, something like that. And I don't know why I even said it like that. I'd never had a conversation like that, because I was normally just dating dudes, and it was just, you never had to talk about sexuality or stuff.
So there was a point where you weren't sure if they were interested in women
I think the thing with women is you can't quite obviously tell. Some people you could, you know, by how they physically look, but a lot of women you can't tell. And there's so many, like, I think the statistics on women that aren't 100% straight is, you know, it's something like 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people say, like, I mean, that women that could go both ways, or, you know,
on the spectrum of sexuality. Yeah.
When you knew each other as friends, did guys come up with her? Did she ever say to you?
So
like,
you don't know. But then it was like, as we were hanging out, I was like, oh, there's some feelings definitely, and I was like, oh my God. And then I'm like, well, I've got to say something. And then that was so embarrassing. Like,
where were you?
I was just on my couch here in New York.
So you two were watching a movie?
Yeah. And then I was like, it was just but not like sitting together, because we were just hanging out as friends. So I was on one side, she's on the other side.
Watching Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. No.
As you do every day.
No, I don't know.
With all your dates.
Probably just watching trashy reality shows that I love. And then, you'd say, but then she was like, oh, I have feelings for you as well. And it didn't end up going anywhere really. But that whole experience of opening my heart up for a same-sex relationship was like really, I don't know. Then I met Ramona, was the next woman I met that I felt that way. And
this is a different person.
Okay, I see.
But if I'd never had that little dalliance, I don't think I ever would have been open to meeting Ramona. And
so you had to have you had to come out, you had to have a dalliance,
you have to
break up with a woman.
Yeah,
you know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I've been through that. That's not easy. What was that like?
Well, the person said they weren't interested in dating me. So I for the first time kind of got dumped.
I'm sorry.
I'd never, and so I was like, because their career was very important. And so I'm being very careful, because they're in the public eye. So
I gotcha.
So I was like, oh, but I'd had all these feelings that I'd never had feelings for a woman like that before. So it was all new and exciting But I learned that, oh, maybe my heart could be open romantically to a woman. And then, and then weirdly met Ramona soon after.
And someone set you guys up, right?
Yeah, we had a best friend, Hugh, who was like, I was like complaining to him about dudes and how they weren't romantic enough and all this stuff. And then, and on the dating app and like being like, oh my God, there's like all these surfer models or whatever, which you think would be good, but it wasn't. wasn't that good.
All us surfer models out there.
It's just like,
me and all of my surfer bros out there on the apps.
Like the
I get it. The banter,
they're obviously very hot, but you're like, oh my God. Once you have one date, you couldn't really like progress. And then my friend Hugh was like, oh, I'm going to connect you with my friend Ramona, thinking maybe it just might have been a friendship thing, but knowing that she'd had relationships with women but then it like progressed.
It off.
Wow. Yeah. Hugh Grant is so talented, both matchmaker and...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, Fluid came out of this idea of like, because I still don't know like currently how I would classify my sexuality. Like obviously I'm in a great same-sex relationship and it's awesome. Mm. And I'm so happy to be like a fiance and everything. But on the dating app, like on Raya, you had to tick like if you're a woman and if you're interested in men or interested in women as well, you had to like literally tick a box. Mm-hmm. And that felt like when I was on Raya, like it felt like a massive thing, and I just ticked interested in men because that was like primarily what I was interested in at the time. And like, and so I was like, well, what if there's a dating app where you don't have to describe your sexuality and you don't have to tick a box and say you're this or that? You can just be anything on the whole spectrum. And so it's kind of a very modern, I think, like a kind of nuanced approach to love and dating and I know all the Gen Z people are really into it, but all the dating apps, like, my friend was just saying she was on a dating app called Her and they had 30 different sexuality classifications. And I'm like, oh my God, like at what point is it getting too much? And you should just say, it doesn't matter what you are.
Right.
It only matters who you're attracted to.
Just give me a human.
Anyone. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So like for Fluid, like going with like the Fluid metaphor, it's like you see the whole pool of people out there to date.
Mm-hmm.
And then the algorithm will eventually work out preferences and show you more of the people that thinks you'd be attracted to.
But I love that
idea. At the beginning, you just see the whole pool of people in your area.
That's kind of amazing because it really then doesn't limit you in any way. It really just, it seems like the most modern way of doing things where it's just about, it's making an algorithm based on you specifically, not based on whatever boxes you
checked. And
also
which has the ability to change. So if your preferences start changing, it will slowly learn that too and then change.
It's like Spotify.
Yeah.
Right. Spotify for humans. The interesting part about this, we've talked about this in this podcast before, the idea of weak connections.
Like, right, and, weak ties.
And weak ties, yes. That's what it is. So it's like the person that's going to introduce you to someone is going to be maybe a friend of a friend, or maybe the person that gets you the job is someone that you kind of don't expect. It's not your best friend. It's not your family usually. It kind of goes
a
little bit.
I think family is great.
It's tough. And you kind of judge
nothing
them
worse
for judging.
Yeah. Then it's set up from your grandma.
Yeah. Right. And it's cool to hear that this is like the ultimate weak tie, because you're like, I had this dalliance with someone else. I'm open to that world.
Mm.
Your friend goes, you know, Hugh comes along, goes, I got this person that's open to that, you know, in that world as well. I don't know. Maybe you'll be friends.
And it came from talking about, you know, my love life and, you know, and often being like, oh God, like what's wrong with me? And all those thoughts that go through your mind. And then, I got set up and it was great. But I think with the app, it's just like, I wanted to develop something that, I know if I was like that, there's lots of other people out there that, I mean, of course there's some people that are like, oh yeah, I'm 100% straight. I'm not fluid in any way.
I like that impression just becomes the douchiest dude ever. That's me. 100% straight, bro.
I tell you what, for those guys, you should get on the app because we're currently at like 80% women. On the app because it's available now for
can
download.
Anyone join no matter what they're, if they're, let's say they think they're 100% straight.
Yeah.
Can
so
they
you, still join? Yeah. Because it's actually the most inclusive app because you can be anywhere on the spectrum. Most dating apps actually skew way more male. So they have all these dudes
really?
On there. Going like, you know, like nightclubs, there's always, you know.
Right, ladies night.
90% dudes.
Trying to get women in there.
Right. But we have all the cool, awesome ladies. So
there are fish in the sea.
Yeah.
I should download Fluid. I should get on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're about to, so we're testing it right now with the friends and family to make sure, you know, there's no bugs or anything. Mm. And then we're going to open matching soon in like a couple of weeks. So, because when you start the new dating app, the thing is, I guess, which I didn't realize, but you got to get all the thousands of people per city to then open up. that area.
It has to hit like a critical mass for people to feel like there's enough people to swipe on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to open it and only have 10 people in your city. That would be dumb. And then you'd be like, oh, gee.
It's having a party and two people show up.
Yeah, I would actually like that because I would be like, all right, well, it's me. You got one choice. You got two choices. Right. Me or the other person.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, you like it.
But it's awesome. Right. But New York is obviously a big city for Fluid so far, and LA, London, and then a lot of the Australian cities, because I guess maybe because I'm Australian. They've been talking about it so much.
Right.
But it's cool. And Philadelphia and Chicago as well. Got a lot of people signing up there.
Well, we got people in those cities.
Those are our big cities too.
Yeah, go sign up. Go check it out. Fluid, it's on in the all the app stores, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're developing it for the Android. All the Android people go, what about my Android? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. It's coming. It's coming for the Android people. But yeah, you can just go to the Apple App Store and download it now.
We love it. This is great.
Yeah. I just have one more question, just because I know that you recently had a baby and you're obviously engaged. Were you having like the baby before, or was this like a joint decision? Or
I was actually, because of my fertility stuff, was planning that like for years in advance. And when I first started dating Ramona, I had to tell her, oh, by the way, I might be having a baby via surrogate. Because I wanted to wait until I knew the pregnancy was definite, because there's always a chance with the embryos and with the surrogates that there's a percentage that it might not work out. But once I knew the surrogate was definitely pregnant, so it was very early in my relationship with Ramona, I had to tell her. And I was like, if that's not something you're into, that's totally fine. I'm like, I'm giving you an out if this is not what you want. But she was like, oh no, I love you and I'm going to love your baby.
It turned
out that way.
That's amazing.
That's great. It's quite a like an entrance. I'm new to dating women, and also you're going to be a mom.
Yeah, also I'm having a baby. Right. It's been a busy year. Like, it's no joke. Yeah. And literally, I like, because Jared, I hear you talking about your story and everything on each week, and then sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm like, got complaints about things, and then all of a sudden you just can meet somebody, and all of a sudden things very quickly change and you get checked up, and
you truly are like the fairy tale experience, or like the, you know what I mean, like everyone I think who's single for a while probably just dreams of like this all just falling into place, kind of like it seems to have for you. And I'm sure there was a lot that went into all the different parts of it.
There was a lot of dates that were, and also that you're just like, oh my god, what am I doing?
But I think
such a loser. Yeah,
but the best part about being single is just that the idea that you could go out one night and your whole life could change so quickly, and it could just, like, it's all done.
That's the yin and the yang of it. Yeah. It's just as you said, one day I'm such a loser, and the next day, oh my god, I was at this bar and met this person, and we're having a baby, you know? Like,
and if I hadn't have done all those dating experiences and those, you know, relationships or situationships that like didn't quite work out, then I wouldn't be in the right place. I'm very grateful to all those experiences that didn't quite work out, and all those people who often hit me up.
Do they hit you up?
Do they still?
Are you like, I'm engaged with a baby?
Congratulations on your engagement. I'm like, why are they messaging me?
Haven't you read the news?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
When's the last text you got from a former fling?
Oh, like literally like 2 days ago.
Come on. What did they say?
Yeah, just that they wanted to meet up for coffee.
Oh,
I'm
coffee.
So confused about why would they reach out,
right?
And I had to call my friend to say, what's the etiquette? Do you respond back? Do you have any obligation to respond back?
I think you could say, I mean, I think you could easily not respond, but if you wanted to respond, I think you could say, assuming you don't want to get coffee with them, I don't really feel like that would be appropriate, but hope everything's good with you.
Yeah, I was in two minds about sending a message like that or just ignoring.
What is it in their messages? Is, hey, let's get coffee, or hey,
like,
I heard about.
It was like a 2-minute voice text about, oh my god, hey, you're engaged and you got the baby and congrats, and would you want to meet up for coffee and just hang out as friends? But you know where then when they say it as friends, but.
Right.
Yeah.
That's weird. They said it was, I don't know.
It was a dude or a woman?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of like, and this is an assumption I'm making about him, and that he maybe goes, well, maybe, you know, I don't know. He's thinking like, you know, a lot of men, there's men out there who like don't even trust women dating. You know, they go, well, I'm a guy. You know,
it's different.
Right. It'll be, well, it's me. There's an ego there.
Yeah.
for a guy like that.
Well, they're going to learn pretty quick.
Right. Or the non-answer.
Did you wind up answering?
No, I've ignored for
it. Let's send a voice note right now. Let's make one. I'll get on it. I'll be like, listen, buddy.
Yeah.
This is Rebel's friends, Jordana and Jared, and we don't want you getting in touch. She's having a baby. She's got a beautiful life. Yeah. Stay the fuck away.
You could be like Charlotte in Sex and the City when Big, I ruin the date.
Right.
Get away from her.
Get away from her. She's done sucking dick. Get out of here. Shoo.
Oh,
scat.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. We can send
he'll be listening to this podcast going, hang on, I did message.
He's a big fan. Hang on. Wearing his U-Up hat.
Yeah, that's why she never responded.
Oh, good to know. Yeah.
You know that feeling when you're going on your first date with the person you've been seriously crushing on and realize you have absolutely nothing to wear? Maybe you find yourself wishing you had the perfect pair of jeans, the one you can fancy up, fancy down, and just look better every time you wear them. Well, that's why you need to check out Lee Denim. I love Lee Denim. I'm wearing them today in the office. I'm wearing their jeans. They also have this other pair that I have at home that I'm really excited to wear. It's like a little baggier, but it's still so comfortable. And yet it's still so flattering. I don't know how they do it. Every time you wash it, they also look even better. And I love that they flatter every body type. Denim trends come and go, but Lee is legendary for creating denim cuts that fit your body. Their denim gets better with age and their classics fit into every look. Lee's denim jacket is the one to reach for without fail, a classic. The Rider jean jacket is the OG, what every other brand has copied for decades. Everyone is an icon in their own right, and Lee makes denim so people can own their style and feel good in their clothes. Their spring collection is here, so get the freshest looks and cuts before anyone else. You can find your Lee fits by visiting lee.com. That's lee.com to shop spring looks now. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And you always have the option to buy what you love. For sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code UUP20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code UUP20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code UUP20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
You ready to play some games?
I'm ready.
Let's get into it. Faux pas or not, presented by Faux Pas Can Cocktails. Every single faux pas can is based on a tried and true cocktail. Vodka soda, Marg, tequila soda, and Mule. You can't go wrong, and it goes without saying on this show that we're into keeping it real, which is why there's only real vodka or real Blanco tequila and no artificial flavors or gluten in these drinks. Now let's keep it real with some faux pas or nah.
So we're going to play faux pas or not. I've been informed by the faux pas team that I was actually right and the three of you were actually wrong.
Come on.
And faux pas is a red team. Faux pas is a red flag and nah is a deal breaker.
I thought that was what we decided.
No.
Oh, right.
You said faux pas was like...
A faux pas.
Yeah.
And nah is you're
also
out.
Also nah is definitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nah is you're out. Yeah. Whereas we were saying before, faux pas was like you're out and nah was like not a faux pas.
Interesting. This makes more sense now that you... Yes. I don't know why we were so... Yeah, it
you guys
is very
were wrong.
Confusing.
I feel validated.
It is a bit confusing.
Though. It is very confusing. Yeah. We probably need to rethink the entire game.
So faux pas, like, I see, right.
Okay, so what's faux pas again?
Red flag.
Red flag, and that's deal breaker.
Oh, it's fine. No, you play. You got
it. Okay, so this is Nas.
Nas is deal breaker.
I am out.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Faux pas, yeah. Is
faux pas is just like a little...
A little faux pas.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. No big deal.
Why did it make sense more now than it did before? Now I'm like, yeah, why would it be anything else?
I guess this is like... doesn't make any... Both of them, there's an argument for both of them.
I agree, but now I'm like, man, I was an idiot. Okay, let's do it.
I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Hi, J&J, love the pod. Here's a faux pas or not for you. They lick their plate clean at the end of a meal. I was recently out at dinner with my boyfriend, and as we were enjoying our dinner, I look over and see a man lift his plate up to his face and start vigorously licking it clean, moving the plate up and down across his tongue to get every last bit of sauce. I mean, there was bread at the table. What was he thinking? When we left, the waitress even made a comment about it to us.
I mean...
I was openly gawking at this, but his date didn't bat an eye. So faux pas or nah, they lick their plate clean at the end of a meal. This is someone she saw doing it, not someone she's on the date with, I guess.
Rebel was ready to like.
I'm already holding up. Nah, yeah, that's, two sentences.
I feel like you would actually be into it.
I like.
You'd be like, it says something about her sexual experimentation.
Right, well, this person,
she's,
I mean.
She's good at licking.
Is, right? Yeah. Good at, yeah. Yes. She's hungry. Good to know. She'll lick anything. there is an element of like, it's a nah for like bringing her home.
You couldn't take her anywhere.
No, but I mean, I it's not a nah for like, the night isn't over.
The night would be over for me. I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be able to get past that.
Well, you can't trust that they would know how to act at a dinner with people that you're looking to impress.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what age do you think that stops becoming okay?
I mean,
like six? Right? Yeah.
You're an adult doing that.
Yeah. No. Even if you're with a 10-year-old.
Have you ever seen anybody on a date lick a knife, though? I've seen that.
Does that bother you?
It was a bit weird as well. Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as like slurping a plate.
Right. Were they they're licking the knife while making eye contact with you? It's weird. Like, if they did it out of like, you know, like, let me just get the extra bit.
Yeah. It was just like, I've been eating my salad. Now let me clean it a bit before eating my steak. Right. And I was like,
with your mouth. Right. Yeah. I would say a more realistic version of this bowl, like a bowl with soup that's got a little bit of soup at the end. And then they're like, bringing the soup up to just pour it into their mouth. I feel like
it's really delicious soup.
If it's like ramen or something.
Is it how important is the soup? I get that. Like if it's like the soup.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's one of those things I'm like.
But you do that at home by yourself, not really on a date.
That's what you do when your significant other is like away for the weekend.
When
then
no one's watching.
Yeah, you bring out the really disgusting.
Only the nanny
habits.
Cam.
Yeah.
I always think about that. Like if we had a nanny cam or like a camera for a dog or something, all the like disgusting ways that I eat would be like seen and they only do when he's away.
The noises that they would hear from me.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. Well, now I've got nanny cams all over.
Yeah, you don't know.
Oh no, all the cameras everywhere. I'm like I'm a big brother or something.
It can get that way. Like you go to someone's house, you use their bathroom, and they just hear you like peeing, and you're going,
I don't think the nanny cams in the bathroom.
Well, you can hear it.
the nanny cams have sound.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do another. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, I'll read it. You can take over the.
Okay.
The paddle here.
Sounds good.
Hi guys, faux pas or nah, you get this message as the opener on a dating app. I get she was just trying to help her friend, but ultimately it was too weird for me. Sincerely, who's who? P.S. The first line is in response to a prompt that I have where I wrote, I say yes to new adventures because several of my pics showing me hiking, but I'm thinking I need to change it.
Okay.
This is a bit confusing when I read this.
I agree.
Before.
So basically, I guess to summarize, she gets this message on the dating app as someone who's responding to a prompt of hers that says, I always say yes to new adventures.
And they write, okay, blank. It says you always say yes, dot, dot, dot. Truth moment before this goes too far. This is blank. This is blank's good friend, blank. Our deal was 1 week. Let me see what's really going on in here on the ladies' side. I didn't make a plan for when I had to start talking to matches. I tried to be blank once. It's too hard and weird. So it's easier for me to be me and be honest. I'm being the best modern day wing lady. I did my own swiping throughout the years. It's a hard life. Lady to lady, you're so cute. And I'm happy to be Blank's representation saying hello. I just showed him a screenshot and he said, oh yes, absolutely.
This sounds like a dating app version of a Nigerian scammer.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Please send me.
Yeah, like the next text would be like, oh, by the way, send me money and
I would be out. I think the whole thing is like kind of, it's one, it's like kind of cheesy. And then even if it's not, it's like, okay, why am I talking to this person's assistant on a dating app?
Right. The premise is you've let your friend play with the apps. Right. They have found you an app, a match based on their search.
But the way it's written is also sus.
I hate the way it's written.
Yeah. I have no issue with someone swiping for their friend, but then just pretend that it's their or don't.
At what point are you an adult? Like, this is very childish. This is very middle school. I don't like the idea of I've done my own swiping throughout the years. It's a hard life. Now you pity me?
Yeah.
I'm just this loser. I get it. You want out of here. Come on. I can help you out.
Yeah.
But if you're legit, like, it has to be you. Like, if it's your picture on the profile, like, it has to be you using the app. And did you know, Fluid, side note.
Plug City.
Side note. plug. Fluid is the only one, you know, all the other dating apps, you can use weird phone numbers that aren't actual real phone numbers, like Google numbers.
Oh, I didn't know.
Our app is the only app where you have to have an actual phone number belonging to an actual person to join.
I mean,
so it dilutes all the catfish.
Well, now I'm sweating a little. I'm like, how many of these bots am I talking to?
There's actually a lot on the other dating apps on Tinder and that.
So they have to use their real.
What's that?
How many apps are you on?
About 6 dozen. I'm trying to find love, Marcy.
Farmer's meat.
Marcy. Rebels publicist.
Yes.
For those
who
listening
only
at home.
Reps me and Julia Roberts. So.
Yes.
Yeah. She's a top publicist. Yes.
And
Marcy's like, we should have done a FBI background check on you.
Right. I'm on all these apps.
We're letting her in here.
with all my phone numbers.
But that could be something shady.
Yeah. I don't like it.
I don't like the tone of it. I don't like this gotcha. I don't like at the end. I showed him a screenshot and he said, oh, yes, absolutely. What am I?
Right. No one asked you.
IKEA furniture?
Yeah. No one asked you to do this.
Right.
Right. I agree. I would be turned off by it. Also, like, their friends seem weird. You are who you're friends with. He's probably weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of their squid game.
I'm out.
I'm a nah.
All right. Let's do one more.
Okay.
J&J, love the pod. Here's my faux pas or nah. He pees in the sink. My boyfriend and I came back to his apartment after eating dinner and both had to go to the bathroom. There's only one in his apartment, so he said, you can go. I'll just pee in the sink.
This is a gentleman.
Thinking he was joking, I laughed and went ahead. When I came out, he was sitting on the couch, and to my horror, he told me he had already gone in the sink. His defense was that there's ammonia in pee, so it's sterile, and the water from the sink ends up in the same place as the toilet water, so it's no big deal. Curious to hear your thoughts.
You know, it's funny, when I first heard this, I thought of him in the bathroom with her, and it was like a couple's moment where they're both peeing, he's in the sink, she's in the toilet. It changes
like in Bridesmaids?
It changes things for me that it's the kitchen sink.
Yeah. That's weirder. No, maybe it's not as weirder, but it's still weird. I don't know.
Yeah, the kitchen sink's weird because that's where you put your food and wash your food.
His ammonia thing is a little too knowledgeable. We didn't get his height here.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's not great.
Also,
I get it if it was one night you were very drunk.
Yes, I thought that was where it was going.
And it's one time.
Yeah,
probably all right. That's a faux pas.
I agree. My issue with it is that it, like, the casual, like, he already had the defenses for why it was okay. It wasn't like, I really couldn't hold it, so I just had to go in the sink, and this is, like, very embarrassing. Don't worry, I'm going to scrub that, like, down. I know that's really just, like, this non-self-awareness how gross it is.
There's ammonia is not enough of an answer.
Right. It doesn't sound like he, like, waited. If I were him, the only way that this would make sense is if he was, like, pounding, like, are you done yet? And he was, like, about to pee in his pants.
An emergency situation.
Right. Would you rather someone pee in their pants or pee in the sink? I think probably
in the
pee
sink.
In the sink.
Yes.
Listen, if I was dating a woman and I just saw her jump up on the countertop and start peeing in the sink, I'd be like, holy fuck, this is the woman of my dreams. I don't know. I'm
so
like,
you're into it.
I'm into it. I have to say, like, just like a cat just jumps up, like, good to go. Like, that's crazy.
Well, one day we'll find one that's not that's not a deal breaker for you.
Yeah.
Or that is a deal breaker for you, rather.
I mean, no, I'm just thinking of it like, I've never heard of a woman. I've heard men do pee in the sink. Like, this is a... Oh.
I mean, when were you going to say that?
Is that a thing?
I think it's a more of a thing because, you know, we have directional use, you know, there's a functionality here that, you know, that is differing. Like,
is it like a urinal?
Well, that's the thing. You guys are talking about this as if, you know, when women pee, it looks like a balloon exploded. You know, like it goes, you know, there's like... You know, the directionals we have. So to him, I understand why to him it's not that big a deal because he's like, I went directly into the sink.
How do you get that tall, though? You think he was
maybe
sitting,
a step
like, squatting?
Stool, as Marcy pointed out. He gets up on the counter. Huge penis.
Yeah.
Flops it over the sink.
Right. He's...
position.
Thank you, Marcy, the publicist. Yeah. Just brings up, maybe his dick is huge. I didn't see that coming from you, Marcy.
Yeah.
Well, that might affect the faux pas or not.
Yeah. Right. Huge cock, but he plays peas in the sink. Who cares?
And he's like, yes.
Right. You're calling him papa.
It's like a puppetry of the penis thing.
Right.
Yeah. That was big in Australia.
Yeah, was it?
It's called Puppetry of the Penis, where they did all weird things with their penises.
No, I've heard of this.
That? Yeah. It's like a stage show.
Oh.
That's the kind of stuff we have in Australia.
I thought you said it was a conservative place. Right.
Well, yeah, it is.
Right. No, the penis had a tie like on it that. When we would do the puppet.
I think they did.
Yeah. Really? That's great.
Biggest faux pas you can make, not having faux pas stocked and ready to go for your next girls' night or date night in. I love the spicy mango margarita. It is my favorite flavor. It tastes, to me, honestly, like just as good as, if not better, than a regular margarita. And I love that I could have it by the pool, by the beach, so portable.
It's
so
a great
easy.
Drink. It is a great, refreshing drink that I love. I love saying it. Spicy mango marg? Are you kidding? Like, that's a fun... Who wants a spicy mango marg?
I do.
All of us
Pass
do.
Me one. There Let's you go. Do it. Visit www.fauxpascocktails.com to find your favorite faux pas near you. That's FAUXPAS and follow @drinkfauxpas on Insta so you don't miss out on any of the tea. I mean tequila.
Wow, listen.
This is amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's surreal. It's a bit surreal because I listen to you guys all the time.
It's surreal that it's surreal. I keep saying this, but like the fact that you...
In person.
This is crazy.
We were like, she's no way she's going to come in person. No way.
We never thought.
So excited. Yeah. You have an open pass whenever you want.
Guys.
Even when no one's here. This office is...
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Is there any episode that you think back to that you have any opinion on any emails that were sent in? Is there anybody... issue that you were like, I disagreed with both of you guys, or is there any special moment with the podcast?
I love the awkward sex stories. I just always find that interesting, and like as a comedian and stuff, and you know, when you're sometimes improvising comedy beats or whatever, you love to draw stuff from real people's experiences. But I don't know, I generally think like I kind of feel very similarly with you guys. When you give advice, I'm like, oh, yeah, I would have said that. Like, oh, yeah, she should dump him. I think last week's episode you were saying, oh, dump the guy. He's not – oh, I'm trying to think of the scenario. It was the girl
– Oh, the guy was like, oh, I'm not paying your rent anymore?
Yes, yeah, that. Is that and it would like instantly like, yeah, dump.
Yeah.
Dump.
He would – no, she wanted to move to San Diego.
Oh, yeah. He said – he said he would help her with the rent because he wasn't paying any rent himself.
Yeah, that was dodgy. And then he did it a week before she was supposed to move or something.
Yeah,
and
it was
like, and then you like instantly like dump. So I normally like agree. I'm never like sitting there going, no, you guys are giving the wrong advice.
So we're changing the
I think you guys give very good advice.
Oh, well,
and
thank
I think
you so
you're
much.
Helping so many daters out there.
Well, that means
and,
a lot.
You know, and we're all about having people find love and, you know. Yeah. And because I know as somebody who it came late in, like, when did I meet Ramona? When I was like 41, 42. And like, that's quite late, I guess. Although the average marriage age in New York is at 40.
Is it really?
So, yeah. So that was the one thing that like made me feel like, oh, I'm not that bad then.
Oh, no, I mean, I think your
the
story
average
is.
Age now is 40.
I think your story is so inspiring. I think your app is such an amazing idea. And I know any of our listeners would probably have a great time exploring it. It sounds like.
Yeah. I think it's kind of cool. Even say if you are 100% straight, you could just see the dating pool out there.
What's going on?
Yeah. And just like see the people and like, because that's kind of, if you walked into a bar, you just see all the people and then zoom in on who you're actually attracted to.
My bio will be 100% straight.
Well, yeah.
Jared. I just like that it's super tailored to you, because I think everything with dating, a lot, everything can feel very like binary of like,
yeah, this is like love with no labels, and just you don't have to tick a box and label yourself. And to me, I think it's very progressive, and hopefully like a lot of people get on there and find love, and then they can have babies and engagements, and then I'm like, oh, cool.
I'll feel
very fulfilled if that happens. So we'll see. Like, it's in the early infancy stages, mm-hmm. and we'll see, but it's been a cool thing to develop, and it came out of my own love life stories.
We love it. Fluid. It's on the App Store. Yeah. Unless you're Android, we'll get to you.
Yeah, we will.
But it's that's amazing. That's so cool. And we're so thankful that you. Congratulations on everything. Thanks, and Jonathan. We're so like.
Thanks, Jared.
Oh, it's so it is the coolest thing in the world that you enjoy the show. So.
Oh, I love it. No, it's just interesting. I always go out on a walk and listen. And so you're exercising and like listening to something fun.
So it's like mental health.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll be back on Sunday with Sunday Special.
Boom.
The U Up Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Maddie Paul, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Maddie Paul. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Netflix. Bridgerton is back, bringing us another scandalous and sexy season. And dearest gentle readers, you will not want to miss this chapter. In season 3, longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Will these friends defy odds and expectations to find true love? And will Penelope's secret identity as famed gossip writer Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? You shall have to watch and see. Watch part 1 of Bridgerton now, only on Netflix.
Betches.